The gospel reading today, we are told that our Lord spoke to the people only in parables. People get frustrated because they'll say things like, why didn't he just speak clearly what he wanted to have said? Because it wouldn't make a bit of difference to us. It would go in one ear and out the other. In other words, if we really want this to make a difference in our lives, we have to work at it. If it's too obvious, we tend not to. It's too easy, so we don't spend the effort. We don't make the effort to be able to go deeper with it. And we have to ask ourselves, why would we need to do that? All we have to do is look at the two parables that he gave us today, one about the mustard seed and one about the yeast. The mustard seed is tiny, and it becomes a tree. Just a little bit of yeast, everything in the bowl is affected by it. That's what we see in the first reading as well. We hear, for instance, Aaron saying to Moses, you know how prone these people are to evil. So everything that had happened, all that they had seen, and yet they reject God, and they want a false god. And they're willing to dance and sing around their golden calf. How pathetic. Are we any different? We just don't make golden calves. But you can fill in your own blank as to what the false god is. Is it money? Is it prestige? Is it some material possession? Whatever it is, what's most important? What is it that you get all fired up about? Get fired up about the Lord? Or do you get fired up about something on the material level? It helps us to see rather quickly what's most important. And the importance of that is to recognize how deeply embedded that is within us. Just as we see with Moses, comes down the mountain, and we're told his anger flared up. Moses had an anger problem. He became the meekest man on the face of the earth. It didn't start that way. It's pretty deeply seated. And so all the things that Moses had to go through, 40 years in the desert, caring for these people and dealing with all their issues, he had to learn how to be meek. He had to learn how to love these people. It doesn't come quickly and it doesn't come easily. And so if something is just simply given, what good would it do to us? And so we have to work. We have to make the choice to say, this is what I really want. If I want the Word of God to be within me, and I want it to branch out and fill my entire being, I have to make that effort. Because what does happen without effort is just like your garden about this time of the year and with all the rain we've had this year. If you've got plants in the garden and you want them to grow and get big and produce fruit, you got to work at it. But you didn't even try to make those blasted weeds grow, and boy, are they growing nicely this year. Lots of them, they're all over your garden. And no effort on your part to make it happen. But trying to get rid of them, that requires a lot of effort. How apropos to the garden of our soul. We don't have to try to make evil happen. It's pervasive. The devil sows the seeds all over the place, and the weeds come up, and they grow quickly. They're deeply embedded, and they take over. If we want the Word of God to be deeply embedded and take over, we need to plant the seed there, and then we need to work at making it grow. Again, we might look at that and say, well, that's not fair. That doesn't sound right. Why is it so difficult to do this way, but it's not the other way? It's just the way things are. Why do you have to plant a garden? Why doesn't it just come up by itself? Why do those blasted weeds keep coming up without your trying, but the garden doesn't? Same idea. We have to do the work. We have to make the choice of what it's going to be. The evil is there. It's deeply within us. And it is affecting everything. And what God does, even, and we all have experienced this, as you're growing in virtue, you see that you're doing much, much better, whatever it is. Look at Moses today. He was getting better at meekness. But then a situation comes up that he completely loses it. We know even as he goes along, it's what cost him going into the Holy Land, where he got angry at the people. And in his anger, he decided to strike the rock that God said, speak to the rock. His anger got in the way. His pride got in the way. So as much as he had grown, God allowed him to see that there was still more that needed to happen. Same thing happens with you and me. Whatever virtue it is that you're trying to work on, maybe you're working on trust, or maybe you're working on patience, or maybe whatever it is, and you're doing better, and you're thinking, wow, praise the Lord, look at how well I'm doing. And then the Lord will let something happen, only to let you see that, yes, I am doing much better, but I don't have the virtue yet. I still have more work to do. Because this stuff is so deeply seated. So just like with your garden, you have to work to get rid of the evil. And you have to work to make the good grow and develop. That's the choice we have to make. Just like these people at the base of Mount Sinai, how quickly they turned against the Lord. After everything that had happened, they just turned back and said, we want a false God. God is going to put us in situations where we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried, where we have to make the effort to put the virtue into practice when it is more difficult. These people didn't have faith. Moses didn't have meekness. Whatever, you can look throughout the scriptures, you can see all the examples of the different people and the struggles that they had. You and I have our own struggles, whatever they might be. And it's only by having to work at them, work at getting rid of the sin, work at developing the virtue, that we're going to be able to do what we want to do. So you can look at your day-to-day life and you can see what's more important to me. We can sit back and say, I really wish that this was gone. I really wish that I was whatever, more humble or more patient or whatever. Wishing it isn't going to make anything happen. Are we working at it? Just like you can look out your window and say, I wish that the weeds would all go away from my garden. And I wish that everything else was really growing nicely and bearing fruit. Well, until you go out there and get down on your hands and knees and start pulling some weeds, they're not going anywhere. Well, they're growing, they're going everywhere. But they're not going to go away unless you work at it. So the weeds in the soul are the same way. So what's the false God in your life? What are you doing to root it out? What are you doing to fight against it? It's going to fight back. You know it's going to fight back. The devil isn't going to go away without a fight. So you have to make the choice in your own life, which is more important to me, to have these vices, or to have the Lord. to allow the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, to take over my soul, my entire being. I want it to grow and take over. Or to just say, oh, well, I planted the seeds. They're going to grow. So are the weeds. I guess we'll see what's going to happen in the end. Well, we all know what the garden looks like in the end if we don't weed it all summer. That's what the garden of our soul looks like if we don't take care of it. So the choice is ours. And that's why God allows this. Because we can't just make the choice of saying, yeah, I guess I'd rather this than that. We have to make the choice and make the effort. So look at the vices in your life, the weeds of the spiritual life, and make a choice. Are you going to uproot the weeds and take care of the plants? Or are you going to allow the plants to be choked off because the weeds are going to fill your entire soul? That's what it really comes down to. So it's a frustrating thing for us. We'd like it to be easy. But we all know that when things are too easy, they don't mean anything to us. The things we have to work at, that means a lot. The Lord knew that. He knew how we were going to be. So he requires we make the choice and we work at it. So which is it going to be? The plants that God puts into our soul, or the weeds that the devil puts in there? Who's going to be the God of your life? Who do you want to fill your soul with?